morning, radio listeners, and I guess it's still not too late to say Happy New Year. And may I wish for all of you to enjoy life as it unfolds in the warm embrace of Amida Buddha. Please join me by putting your hands together in reverence as I read these words. Life is too short and fleeting. Today will never come again. Life is the most precious gift. Today is the most precious treasure. The Buddha Dharma makes us find the true value of life. Namo Amida Butsu. This passage was an adaptation of what was written in a book, Dharma Talk of the Four Seasons, in an article written by Reverend Fumiaki Usuki of the West LA Buddhist Temple. We express our thank you and express our gratitude to all the sentient beings, friends, and acquaintances that through their lives and experiences bring us to the teachings of Buddhism. We look to the teachings for guidance, to guide us in our quest for awakening, and to awaken ourselves from the frustrations we experience in our daily lives. The Mahayana path is the path to lead others out of suffering, but because we are not yet Buddhas, it is impossible to lead others out of their suffering unless we can first help ourselves. Reverend Usuki said that once we realize the root of our own frustrations, then the issue and problems of others can be appreciated and dealt with in their real sense, and we are no longer trying arrogantly to do something good or noble. To find compassion for ourselves is to find true compassion for others, and only then can we sincerely and happily serve and connect with those around us. Each year, for the past 10 years or so, I have been going to the Maeda Center Buddhist Retreat held at the IBS. While there, we get to meet and visit with Dharma friends from all over the West Coast and even the Midwest. One particular person I made an acquaintance with was someone from Lodi. I would like to share the story that he had told me and was a part of with all of you. He planned his dream vacation to Hawaii that included his entire family, his wife, two married children, and their families. He looked at maps, became familiar with the North Shore on Oahu where he had intended to bring his family to for his dream vacation. So he acquired and rented this beach house near Haleiwa. The day arrived and they all met at the San Francisco International Airport. The plane was delayed for several hours and they arrived in Honolulu rather late in the evening. They went to the car rental agency to procure a van that they had reserved. The rental agency had no record of any van reservation made by this man, so they waited and waited until the car rental people could find a suitable van. After waiting another hour and finally able to procure a van and feeling very, very tired and cranky, they finally took off for the North Shore. While he got lost along the way and kept driving at what seemed like for hours, his wife asked him finally if it wouldn't be a good idea to get directions, and he just barked back and said, "No, I can read street signs and I'll find the house." And so she said, "Okay then," and kept quiet the rest of the way to the North Shore. So when they finally got past Wahiawa, he took a wrong turn and ended up in Wailua. They backtracked, and when they got to Haleiwa, they couldn't find the house. So up and down Kamehameha Highway he drove, up and down Haleiwa Road, until they finally reached their destination. All the while he was driving, he was getting heat from his wife, two sons, and grandchildren, who were really tired. So by the time they found the house, he was hopping mad, and they unloaded their things, got into the house, and then sat everyone down and told them that this was supposed to be a fun dream vacation, and because of them, everything was ruined, because it was their fault. So from now on until the end of the vacation, they were on their own and could do whatever they pleased. "I do my thing and you do yours until it's time to go home," he said. Well, the next day he got up, made his own breakfast as he was still hopping mad, and after he ate, went down to the Haleiwa beach where he saw this local man in the shallow water with his wife and three children fishing for aveo-aveo. He watched as each time his wife or kids would catch a fish, he would leave his pole with one of them and patiently take the fish off the hook, attach a bait to it, and give it back. Well, this went on for quite a while until this man couldn't take it anymore. So he waded into the shallow water where they were and ask the local man, "Hey, seems like it's so easy to catch fish and there's so many in the water. Why don't you just throw a net and get as much as you want and then go home instead of doing this one at a time?" The man turned to him and replied, "Hey, brah, this is family time. We come here as a family and spend quality time together on weekends. I work all week. My wife works all week. And the kids go to school. So now, when we get a chance, we spend time together and bond with each other. That's why I don't throw a net. That's not the point. After we're done, we go home with all the fish we caught and have a great feast together as a family and with some of our friends." This poor man from Lodi thought about what this local man said and realized just what he had done to his family. He sat in his car for a while and pondered what he had said and done the night before and this morning. So then he drove home, gathered his family together, as by that time they were all up and wondering where in the world he went, and told them the story of the local man and that he realized what he was doing. He told them that he really wanted this to be a great family vacation and that he was very, very sorry for the pain he had caused the family because of his self-centered ignorance. They all hugged, had a good cry, and enjoyed the rest of the dream Hawaii vacation together. Well, sadly, less than 8 months or so afterwards, I got word that he had died in an accident. Later, at another Maida retreat, I met with and spoke to his wife and found out that he had died while vacationing with his family on Maui. All along, I had assumed that he had died in an accident in Lodi. After I got back to Hawaii, she sent me an email and wanted to share the story with me because, as she said, her husband often talked about me and wanted to share the concern and compassionate care she and her family received during and after the accident. She said that her husband had died a few days before his 69th birthday. It had been a struggle for her two daughters to come to terms with his death. They were extremely close to their dad and considered him their friend and confidant. When important questions needed to be talked about and important decisions made, they depended on him for advice. In her life, he was the one who opened doors and made opportunities for her to meet people and get involved with activities. He always took the lead and did most of the talking in social situations and gatherings. She was not able to attend any of the study sessions after his death, but wanted to share the kindness received when talking about people's interactions with her husband. She wanted to tell me about her experience after he had his accident on Maui. They were staying at a hotel in Wailea where the swimming accident happened in the ocean in front of the resort. From the time they transported him in the ambulance to the hospital to the time she had to make the decision to take him off life support, they were treated with kindness and respect. The security manager of the hotel rode in the ambulance with them and comforted them all the way. The technicians and the doctors could not have been more caring and always kept them current on what was being done and why. We had an unexpected visit from a member of the Wailuku Temple who was contacted by one of her daughter's friends. On her visit, she brought a delicious bento. What thoughtfulness and kindness, she told me. They were visited by a hospital chaplain many times and even sang some of his favorite songs by his bedside. Reverend Murakami of Wailuku Honganji went to the hospital upon the request of a BCA minister to talk to them. Finally, their very good friend, Reverend Abiko, who had retired, flew to Maui and did a service before and after taking Tom off life support. Carol always went along with Tom's encouragement to listen to the teachings, to go to the temple, to go to class and seminars. Sometimes she went along reluctantly, but now she wants to go on her own to listen and to learn about herself, because, as she says, she needs to listen, to hear deeply the Buddha Dharma. Each time I recall meeting with him, each time I think about this special person, I'm grateful to him for sharing this one very valuable lesson on the teachings of the Buddha. His lesson reverberates in my very being each and every time I think of him. It is like a light shining on me, teaching me. Now, his wife's light is shining brightly on me, teaching me valuable lessons on interdependence and interconnectedness. In the Kegon Sutra, it is stated that high above Mount Sumeru lies Indra's net. Each eye of the net is connected by a knot on which a precious shining diamond is tied to. This precious shining diamond is all of us, all beings, interwoven in a net of interdependence and loving kindness. Sunan Shonin, the founder of Shin Buddhism, expresses this light throughout his writings. In the collected works, in Awasan, he writes, beams of light 3,600,000 billion in number shine brightly from within each flower. There is no place they do not reach. Thank you so much for listening, and may I wish you a very good rest of the day, and always, Namo Amida Butsu.